Yeah, push record.
All right, well, welcome to a special edition of Gamers with Coffee. We're excited. Why are we excited today, Clint?
We get free food.
We're going to get free food at work. So free food at work is a good thing because work generally is work. But food is, you know, that's free.
Free food is good.
Yeah, gamers are motivated by simple things. So anyways. Yeah.
Like coffee.
Yeah, and we're going to get free coffee, too.
That's true.
So it's we're going to make them coffee. Pay to have us work there, so to speak.
Yeah. So that's I guess that's technically correct.
Well, they're providing the food. Granted, it's from a local grocery store.
Still.
But it's food, so it'll be okay.
We didn't pay for it.
Yeah. So anyways, we haven't done much, and we had a request here. You said somebody requested we talk about.
So Keegan asked to discuss Twilight 2000, which is an old role-playing game.
Oh, this was Keegan's request?
This was Keegan's request. Okay, I'm like, well, you know what? He requested it, so I'm going to honor that.
Woo! Shout out to Keegan.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we should probably mention we have a passenger with us. Say hi, Nikki.
Hello.
So,
Nikki is co-worker.
Not really a gamer, but, you know, she puts up with us. Yeah, well,
Crash is okay.
Yeah, we technically include video games in this, so.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine.
Crash Bandicoot, Spyro. Yeah. The good old days.
The old stuff, yeah. The classics. So Twilight 2000, since we do play Team Yankee, which is an alternate World War III based on a novel written back in, you know, World War III time. It's basically Twilight 2000 is a role-playing version where you are playing as a military member. Does not have to be U.S., Soviet, whatever. You're basically stationed in Poland, or you were in Poland when World War III actually happened. Technically, there was a nuclear war, but it was not as rough or devastating as nuclear war could be because not everyone was able to get everything off in time. The bombs, some of them were shot down. But you're basically now cut off and stuck.
So you're talking about a kinder, gentler
nuclear war. Yeah, if you want to say a kinder, gentler nuclear war, it's Christmas at Ground Zero, basically.
Well, yeah.
So.
Well, at Ground Zero, there'd be lots of lights.
That's true.
Well, one bright light.
One big glowy.
Yeah, something to that effect.
So, anyway.
So that's the scenario. Yeah.
But that's the overgist of the game. So you are an individual character. You will have your skills, your equipment, your whatever, you know, you started as. And then, like all role-playing games, one person is the games master and runs the environment. This is the only role-playing game I ever actually played for an entire weekend straight. Well, that Taurus is sideways off the road. Oh, not disabled.
It's awesome. Sitting there. Well,
somebody skidded out pretty good.
Sidetrack.
Oh, yes. Well,
there's
they
snow where
know.
We're at.
It is snowy, too, yeah.
Yeah.
But they always know we get sidetracked, and I think it's kind of expected at this point.
Oh, well, sure.
Big flashy coming up behind us. See? I'm keeping with tradition. But
well, it is nice to see you actually doing the speed limit today, sir. So.
Shh. Okay. I always do the speed limit, Greg.
I know. What did we discuss one day? You never drive faster than you can see.
This
you
is
can
true.
See pretty fast, so.
Yeah, this is true.
60 frames a second. Oh, wait, 30.
Yeah.
So, well, go with that.
Yeah, okay, that works. But no, I posted up that I acquired some of Half Price books, so Keegan was interested in it and wanted me to touch base on it.
So this is like a Dungeons & Dragons version.
But it's your alternate real-life World War III. So I think the original setting was supposed to be like 1985 or 86.
So, wait, a group of people get together and make up scenarios and have fun? I've been doing this in my head by myself. Like, I could have had a group of people?
That's correct. This is why I've been trying to tell you there's more to gaming than your imagination.
Well, no, I try not to use that at work. If they catch me bringing imagination...
We are not at work.
Oh, that's true. Not yet.
We're in the car, so imagination is allowed. Common sense is allowed. Logic is allowed. We even told that to Nikki last night, that it was allowed in the car.
Okay.
So... Now, work, yeah, that's another story, but it is what it is. So, I mean, at some point, I thought that would be a fun game for us to sit down and play, because everyone who core groups Team Yankee basically has a concept of what's going on and a concept of the military. I can easily run scenarios, although we are not taking the Soviet ICBM launcher and packing it full of fuel and ammo and getting into a firefight.
Well, that might be slightly dangerous.
That was slightly dangerous. That's a big bomb. So, back up when we played, at one point we came across a Soviet ICBM launcher.
Your group?
Yeah, our group did.
Okay.
With an ICBM on it. We wanted the truck because it was this huge carrier. So we kind of shot the nuke off at Poland.
How do you kind of do that?
You kind of punch in the codes and make it launch. And it kind of goes whatever geographic coordinate you put in. Just happened to be Poland.
So it's a boo-boo.
Sure, we'll go with that. Yeah, we'll go with that. Then we smartly packed the truck with fuel and ammo and food and everything because it was a large truck to carry our stuff. And then we run into a small Soviet contingency with T-72s who proceeded to not like us and shooting at us. And my character was driving said truck and had to get out and run to take down one of the tanks. And yeah, a stray T-72 round may have detonated our supply.
Thereby cooking your food at the same time.
Oh, yeah, thereby cooking our food and water and fuel and... Oh, yeah, the fireworks show from the ammo was brilliant.
So let me get this straight. You were driving the truck and you abandoned it.
I had to,
yeah.
And it
got blown up.
Yeah.
And so then the group suffered because you abandoned the truck?
Right, because where am I going to go? Because, you know, an ICBM launcher is, you know, definitely rally-quality vehicle. That sucker can corner like it's on rails.
Oh, no. You'd have to be careful making a left or right turn because it could tip. But other than that, you should be okay.
I mean, the top speed on it's 50 miles an hour if we're lucky.
That's pretty quick.
We had a Humvee and something else in the group. Well, wow. I did take the tank out with a grenade. I'm not sure how realistic that is, but if you crawl up on the barrel of a tank and throw a grenade down it before they open the breech, kind of cool. Yeah, time everything right, but...
Well, that's the thing with imagination. You can do what you want with it.
Yeah, the GM allowed it, so... In real life, though, if you take a thermite grenade, stick it over the engine of the tank and pull the pin, that tank's done. It will eat through the engine. You've ever seen a thermite grenade go, which I have, it'll eat through the engine.
It'll eat through.
Yep. That sucker's got a magnetic base, so it sticks to things, and then it'll just burn right on through everything. Right through the grate, right through the top of the engine, right through the engine, boom. Dead in the water.
It does not stop.
It doesn't stop the gun from firing, but it does stop the tank from moving.
So you have a slight advantage, then, with your background there in some of these games. So...
Well, in the Soviets that had the fuel cells on the back, like the T-72 and the 64s, you could put a small explosive on that fuel tank by running up behind them when they stop to shoot. Yeah, it's kind of suicide, but they're behind you. They don't know they're there unless somebody's out of the hatch. And then you blow the fuel cell. Now, I know they have internal fuel cells. It doesn't stop them, but it is still a big firebomb on the back of their tank.
And it makes things hot.
And if they're like us, where their supplies are stacked around the tank, they're at least apt to investigate. And then you shoot them when they get out.
So then this is basically, well, like you were saying, it is a role-playing version of Team Yankee. And what was the name of the book that you got? I seen them yesterday or the day before we got, but I don't remember.
Twilight 2000 is the name of the game.
Okay. So that was produced by a company called
Games Designers Workshop, or Game Design Workshop, which is long out of print, just like FASA and a few other older game companies. For those of you listening who remember Battletech, the original version, you'll know what FASA is. They're also responsible for Shadowrun. Now it, I think, is owned by Catalyst Labs, and it's kind of classic Battletech and your second edition, your third edition Shadowrun. I'm glad somebody picked up the game at least and didn't let it die, but I'm sad that it's not the original company.
Sometimes you notice games are popular and then they kind of fade out, then they come back, then they fade out, then they come back. So in between, the only thing I notice with any kind of quote role-playing game is it's hard for the manufacturer to have, they're not selling anything else. They're not selling figures, models, special printed dice. There's nothing extra really for them other than the book. And one book would work with a group of people, so therefore they're not even selling very many books. So I think money-wise it's hard for them to continue. Of course, then there's other companies that want to charge you insane amounts of money for a book, which is crazy also. But that would be interesting. interesting concept. You could sit around and have some coffee and just...
Yeah, we'll throw the...
Figure your way through it, yeah.
Yeah, I can set up some cool scenarios. And luckily, that box I got came with a bunch of pre-generated characters. So you guys could technically just use the characters that are there. If anything, at least to learn how to play before you decide you want to change something.
So then, what about your... Do you have stats for the individual characters?
Yeah.
Does the book give you, like, a background on...
Yeah, you've got a base set of skills. It basically, if I'm recalling that rule system right, I liked it because you rolled up your life. So you start with basically high school. Where'd you go to high school? What skills did you learn? What military group did you go into? What skills did you learn from that? Where did you move on from there? It is very much based around you having a military-centric character. You can play non-military, but it is based around mostly a military-centric character.
So it gives you a background.
It gives you quite a bit.
So somebody who never did it has something to read, understand,
yeah,
and get you to play from.
The one thing I've noticed most of the new role-playing games really start to lose is the background. Now, it's not as important. I mean, you want to know what your character's backstory is.
Yeah, you got to have a setting. Of some kind.
But I always liked rule systems that required you to roll your character's education, your history up, and made it part of your character. So one, if you don't know what you want to do, you can just kind of roll and go that way and you're good to go. Two, if you really kind of have a path, you can kind of guide and figure out what you need to play. So your character is based off of what you want to do. Do I want to be, did I want to be a ranger, Army Ranger? So my character might have gone to ranger school right out of high school. And, so he took all the specialized training. He gets all his skills from high school. He gets all his skills from basic training. Now he goes into ranger training. Well, do I want to be a lieutenant? Did I go to ROTC in college? And, so I've got the skills there.
Affects your character,
it does.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, what training do you want to go to? Were you a tank operator? Were you a grunt? Were you a mechanic? Here's your skill sets for that. Boy, the sky got really weird out here.
Yeah, it's been getting weird. And then snow.
Yeah.
Well, we slightly veered off the subject there, but...
Yeah.
So it sounds like pretty interesting. You've got
at least
a core set of rules and some sort of background to go with, so...
I think for you guys, at least, that have never role-played, once I start doing the D&D podcast stuff, when I start uploading our D&D scenario, you'll get a real good example of how everyone plays without actually seeing the sheets or the books.
In all fairness, I role-play every day when I get out of bed.
No. That's not
the same. I role-play as a,
low-income
person going to work and doing the best they can do to get the job done.
Right.
So I roll.
Yeah, we'll go with that. No,
well,
just roll.
I don't want to roll. I keep losing my dice.
Yeah.
My rolls are bad in the morning, so I end up having to go to work. It's that or it's something called poverty. You have to go.
So you have a lot of time when you have poverty.
Yeah, but then you don't have any money to like try to buy your game stuff.
That's true.
Of course, when you're poor, it's hard to do anyways, but
yeah,
you got to enjoy what you got. Although the more time would be nice, because then you could...
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's where the imagination can come in, right?
Yeah.
So.
And at some point, the imagination might make us some money.
Yeah, you gotta have some imagination. It's a good thing. Look at SpongeBob. He's a pretty happy guy.
Sure.
Right?
Sure, we'll go with
that. And every day, he's ready to go to work. Of course, we're not. Again, we're going to work early because there is free food involved. We're not working early. We're just going to go and eat and get the coffee.
Did you mention the free food?
Oh, yeah, there's free food involved. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so don't forget the free food. Yay, sarcasm!
Woo! Woo! Sarcasm, you can have some of that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, today, though, before I go into work, I'm going to leave common sense with the logic. So otherwise, logic tears up the seats if you leave them alone in the car.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So at our work, you guys, it's interesting. We can't really say too much about it, but... Yeah, it's interesting. We'll leave it at that. So, but now here we are, almost there.
So I wonder if Nikki thinks we're crazy yet.
Possibly most of our coworkers believe that we are crazy. They look at us a little funny, but that's okay. So That's okay. Not yet. Let people wonder.
Wow, it is foggy out here.
Well, this is going to end this podcast because here we are pulling up to work. But I just I remembered something. I didn't get up and cry today, so it must be free food day. I don't wake up and cry before I go to work.
How are planes landing in this?
How are planes landing?
Yeah, we're out by the airport.
They have these little wheels underneath them. And,
yes, Greg, I know how a plane lands. But you know, they land more successfully when they can see the runway they're landing on.
Oh, the pilots don't need to see. It's underrated.
Well, I mean, yeah, mostly the planes are automated now and they fly themselves. However.
Uh-huh. It is what it is, Clint.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If I trust a machine to land me at 100 or 1,000 feet.
Well.
Or land me safely, at least. I do trust that they will make it to the ground one way or another.
Well, it's going to go to the ground, whether it's straight down or in a nice way.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not going to stay up there.
That's true.
All right. Well, here we are. We'll have to let everybody go. Again, if you guys have any, like, suggestions, let us know. Or you can email us or whatever you'd like to. There's ways to get a hold of us there. And just have a good day. Enjoy it. And we'll catch you guys later. Anything else, Clint?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Goodbye.